The Justice Department has joined a false claims lawsuit against Oracle Corporation. Justice Department joins an existing complaint that alleges the software giant knowingly overcharged the government under the General Services Administration's schedule contracts. Now, some experts believe the lawsuit is a message to all contractors. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with details on the lawsuit and what it means to the contracting community more broadly. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so let's start with the basics. Who's suing who, and what is this lawsuit all about?
So a former Oracle employee, Paul Frisella, who was the director, was the senior director of contract services at Oracle, filed what they call a KETAM, or a whistleblower lawsuit, alleging Oracle knowingly defrauded the government by overcharging agencies for products and services under the GSA schedule. The Justice Department just last week announced that it officially joined or acted as what they call an intervener into the case, and this means DOJ believes there's enough evidence that Oracle did something wrong to actually come join the case. Now, for a little perspective, I looked up how much business does Oracle do with the federal government, and according to USAspending.gov, Oracle receives about $3.6 billion in contracts a year. Most of that are direct sales, meaning that Oracle sells directly to the government. A good portion also comes from resellers, and that means that someone is selling Oracle products. The Navy, the Army, and GSA is actually Federal Technology Service, which is all under the Federal Acquisition Service, are Oracle's largest customers. Now, I've left several messages with the Oracle people trying to get some comment, but as of airtime, I still have not heard back yet. I'm still pursuing those comments, but I did reach out to them to see to make sure we get both sides of the story.
Jason, is this fairly common for justice to intervene in whistleblower cases? How often do they do this?
It seems it's becoming more regularly, and that's according to the experts I spoke with. Larry Allen is the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, an industry organization that represents many GSA contractors. For the purpose of full disclosure, Oracle is a member of the coalition, and Larry does host a show on our station.
This is a time in our contracting lives where the Department of Justice, I think, is anxious to attach its name to any case that it feels has either merit or the likelihood of a cash return for the government. Whether or not there's actually any basis for the case is another matter. I think that there's misunderstandings or general lack of knowledge about commercial business practices, particularly as they pertain to software. And what this really is about is trying to have some people to seeing if they can hold contractors' feet to the fire. This is kind of a season in which it's open season on contractors.
Now, Allen says Justice has opened about 200 cases looking at violations of the Trade Agreements Act. He uses that as just an example of just the type of thing that Justice Department is starting to look at more closely and scrutinize more heavily with federal contractors. This is different. This is the False Claims Act. But the point is, the Trade Agreements Act is a fairly, I don't want to say minor law, but it's something that you don't hear a lot about. He says he also spoke with Bill Shook, a partner with Shook, Doran, and Cole, and his firm represents companies in contracting matters against the government. He says the lawsuit against Oracle is another piece of evidence that the Justice Department and the GSA's Inspector General are pursuing cases against contractors.
We're seeing an increase in pre-award audits for the renewals of GSA contracts. GSA contracts are five-year contracts that are renewed every 5 years. The Inspector General has increased the number of pre-award audits, and they are looking at past performance under the prior 5 years and using the evidence gained therein to suggest that perhaps there were violations of both the price reduction clause and the pricing disclosure clause of the what is known as the CSP charts, the commercial sales practices.
He adds that many of these cases actually started several years ago, and now only after subpoenas have been issued do you see those cases go to court. Now, I also talked to several other experts on background. They didn't get permission to talk on the record from their current companies, but they're all experts in this government contracting field. One says the aggressive actions by GSA's IG and Justice is really in many ways a reaction because during the Bush administration, there was very little oversight. Sources tell me that companies tended to get a little bit sloppy, and Justice realized that many times they can get money for the government without too much effort in terms of proving that without a doubt that a violation has occurred. Let me give you a couple for instances. EMC Corporation paid the government $87.5 million in May to settle a False Claims Act lawsuit, and Network Appliance in March 2009 paid the government $128 million to settle another False Claims Act lawsuit. And in fact, Oracle in 2007 paid the government almost $100 million to settle yet another False Claims Act lawsuit that was actually brought on after Oracle bought PeopleSoft. If you remember that deal, Tom?
I do remember that deal. And by the way, we're speaking with our reporter and executive editor, Jason Miller. And so what does all this kind of, you could call it a shakedown or just legitimately getting money under False Claims Act. I guess that depends on your point of view. But what is the effect of all this going to have on the contractor and government relationship and the contracting community?
Allen and Shook both believe that the effect on industry could be actually very chilling. Allen says there's a lot of concern among his clients, his contractors, his members, of what he calls aggressive behavior by auditors.
I don't know that it will take a specific adverse finding before some companies will just decide to maybe get out ahead of the putative curve and decide that, you know, maybe the best way for us to sell into the marketplace is indirectly through systems integrators or other resellers. There are significant costs here, and while some of these companies do good business within what we understand is the government market, commercially their government business pales in comparison to their total sales, and they have to do a cost-benefit analysis to see whether or not continuing to do business as a prime contractor in this market makes good business sense.
Now, remember, one thing that Allen doesn't talk directly to but alludes to is the fact that when a company goes indirectly, sells indirectly to the government, there's an extra cost in there because that middleman, if you will, they got to make money too. So that means the prices are going to raise. And by being overly aggressive, and I don't think anyone would argue that contractors are perfect and they do everything correctly, and scrutiny and oversight is very important. But at the same time, there's some concern that when people drop out of that direct sales, that's going to cause the government cost to go up.
Now, I was just going to ask you, what advice do these guys have for contractors to avoid getting into the situation in the first place?
Well, I think there's several things contractors could do. Shook says vendors should take this lawsuit and others that are very similar as fair warning.
They need to be completely compliant and completely clear on their disclosures made to GSA when negotiating a GSA contract and be very careful about when the price reduction clause will be effective. I think that it's fair to say that not all contractors in the past have been careful with their disclosures and careful with their explanation as to how they understand the price reduction clause to be implemented during contract performance. And if you are going to be on the GSA schedule, you absolutely need to be crystal clear on that point in order to proceed and go forward.
To be clear, you say be careful on disclosures. Disclosing what specifically?
The GSA contract solicitation requires that either a reseller or a manufacturer disclose what they refer to as commercial sales practices. And that is the lowest price offered to the various types of customers that they sell to, including all rebates and concessions. And there's a lot of misunderstanding and uncertainty as to what a most favored customer price is, including rebates and concessions. And the only action that a contractor can take would be to engage in complete disclosure.
And it sounds like there's a lot of investigation and kind of pre-analysis that vendors have got to do. So I guess let's get to the bottom line here, Jason. What happens, or what could happen to Oracle if they lose this lawsuit?
Well, Oracle could be fined three times as much as the court says they overcharged the government. So for every dollar they overcharge the government, they'd have to pay $3 as a fine. They could also be fined an additional $5,500 to $11,000 per claim. So you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars that could come out of Oracle's pockets. Now, some will tell you, well, Oracle has about $18 billion in cash, so it's like, you know, you and me getting fined $10 from the police for a parking ticket. But the point is that the bigger issue here is if they are found guilty or even partially guilty under some claims, Oracle could face debarment or suspension from federal contracting. And Bill Shook actually called that capital punishment. It doesn't happen too often for large contractors. Tom, you and I were talking late last week about this, and, you know, 80%, pick a number, some large percentage of the government runs Oracle databases. You know, if Oracle stopped supporting them or even for a short time, there'd be a lot of problems. Shook believes, however, that it's very unlikely that this case will even go to court.
We have not seen any cases that have gone to trial of late on these allegations. It certainly would be nice to see a case go to trial so that a court could rule on the interpretation of the solicitation and requirements, but we don't have specific recent cases on that point. So the settlement is always, from the perspective of a contractor, a possibility.
Now, Schutt believes the likely outcome will be a settlement, but you never know. I mean, I've heard from some sources that Oracle may want to fight back, especially after settling once earlier, you know, in 2006 for $100 million. And I just want to reiterate, I mentioned at the top of the segment, I've submitted several requests for comment to Oracle. I've not heard back from them as of airtime. Again, I'm going to continue to try to get comment.
All right, Jason, thorough report, and we hope we do hear from Oracle, because this one really has, I think, a lot of ramifications across the entire government.
I agree, not just for Oracle, but for everyone, all the contractors.